Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Mudtoe Sasquatch. Welcome to the brand new season of The Midnight Garden with Mudtoe Sasquatch, which makes it convenient for me to be here. Don't know if you can hear it, but out front, my neighbors are having just a jolly old time. Something that happens from time to time. They'll be sitting out on the front stoop or front stoops here in our little, what would be a tenement building if they hadn't divided the apartments has a compartment. It's really more than what it is. Then divided the apartments in two, and with the upstairs and downstairs, so they're not technically not tenements anymore. But they sit on the front stoops and have a jolly old shout at each other, which is fine, I guess. It is a Friday. It is a weekend. Although those of us who work retail, the weekend is pretty much the same as any other day. I will say they were very well behaved on July the 4th this year. And I haven't heard a lot of firecracker type fireworks tonight. Usually the firecrackers extend for at least a week after July the 4th. As again, I haven't heard very many yet tonight. And on July the 4th proper, well, actually, I had to go back. It's July the 3rd proper is when they have the big fireworks display here in my great city in the Midwest. And we can see it very nicely from the front of our building. So they're usually an accumulation of people, friends, family, and so forth come to see the show. And in past years, it has lingered on long into the night, but this year everybody kind of quit before midnight, and I think it's because they got an early start. When I came home from work, it was like about 4:30 in the afternoon, and just about everybody was already three sheets to the wind. And I don't remember them having started that early in the past, so maybe it's just they just ran out of get up and go at some point, and that was it. But a rather quiet day, I guess, as they've gone in the past here on Independence Day. So I will I'll count my blessings in that way and accept tonight's little demonstration, I guess, in the spirit of true neighborliness, which means I'll just shut my bedroom door. But in any case, good evening. Welcome to the show. As I had mentioned, being the new season, I don't quite know how many seasons this is. I think last year when we started, I kind of made this speech about how I really don't know how many years it's been. I was going to go back, solemnly swore that I was going to go back into the archives and determine at what point my first show, which was Mud Till at Midnight, when that show started. And I can remember having the meeting Chief Iggy, although Chief Iggy is also Coach Iggy, but in this connection, he's Chief Iggy. But Chief Iggy and Four Hawks, an important person in our tribe at that time. We went out for a late dinner at a pizza place, very atmospheric, local type of pizza place. And they broached the idea to me, what I like to do a show, and it would be a Friday show, and perhaps a late night show, a midnight show, and we might call it Mudtoe at Midnight, and so it was. And almost from the beginning, I was fighting the idea of doing it at midnight because I was so tired. Revamped the show as The Uncommon Shaman, which is something my friend Two Crows used to call me. And then finally, it's now the Midnight Garden. I think for 2 years now, it's been the Midnight Garden. And what's the difference of the three formats? Not a lot. Not a whole lot, really. I guess the Midnight Garden, I wanted something that was less about me personally, although I guess necessarily it has to be because I'm the one who's talking. I wanted to talk more about situations and ways of moving forward than just about reviewing situations. I think I've had mixed success at that. But continuing to learn and continuing to move forward with the show as it is now, the Midnight Garden. I like it, and I'm going to keep it, at least for another year anyway. So thank you for joining me here and sit with me between the cucumbers and the broccoli. I don't know why I picked those two. I never know. I always pick two to sit between. Even though in a real garden, they probably wouldn't be anywhere close to each other. But there we go. And here we are. My situation, pretty much the same it's been in the 7, 8, 9 years I've been doing shows on Blog Talk Radio. Trying to find a way to get by. Trying to find a way to get by in a world that that seems to have passed me over. Now, you know, I'm not going to go too far down that because I've sort of promised I wouldn't. Let's make this the mud toe, poor, poor, pitiful me show. That's really not what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be, as I said, it's about situations and solutions and moving forward. And then what do you do when do you do on those days when the solution seems hopelessly buried? What you do is you stay hopelessly buried in what? What and where and in what and where is this thing called solution buried? For me, it seems to be mostly in the past. That's if you believe in a thing called the past, but that's a whole different line of argument. I was thinking this morning, because I've been after July. I worked on July 4th, and then I went home to see my parents on the 5th, and then I came home and worked today. And as I was driving back to the city, and I was thinking about my job, my retail job, and I had never had a job in retail really, in the time when people usually have those kind of jobs in youth. I worked just a little bit for my girlfriend's mother, who eventually became my mother-in-law. She operated a yarn shop out of her basement, and I worked for her occasionally for straight commission, as I recall. And beyond that, I don't think, then there's school stuff. You work at for one of your school organizations, and you're at the counter and selling stuff. That had pretty much been my retail experience until earlier this year when I started working at the I don't know. Should I tell you? I'm very reticent about being specific about the company that I work for, because they have a reputation for getting onto social media and finding out what their employees are up to. I think I'm just going to keep it. It is a well-established retail company here in the United States, and not one that you would find in every town and village. But a brand name that you would recognize. So I'm getting ready to thinking about this and getting ready to do this. And I was thinking, I just had that thought. I think I let the cat out of the bag earlier. I said that this I'm doing a job. I'm doing the job that I should have been doing when I was a kid. And there's a certain. I mean, there's an inversion there. All of a sudden, here I am at 53 years old, doing the job that I should have been doing as a kid, and learning values about the value of the hard day's work and all that stuff, if you want to go in that direction. But certainly understanding things now, or beginning at least to understand things that I didn't understand before. Because, as an 18, as I said, I did that little bit of work for my future mother-in-law, and I started my first summer out of high school, I got a job out at the city park whacking weeds and painting stuff. And I did that job for a few weeks, and then I was pulled out of that drudgery. The assistant principal came one day and asked me if I would be interested in running some computer programs for them. They had just bought some Apple IIe's and had pirated some software from a nearby high school, and they wanted me to run the software and take some notes on it, and then educate the teachers on what the possible application that software might be. And then before the summer was over, they also added an adult education class, people coming in to learn how to use the computers. This is, I didn't know anything about that. I had a neighbor who had a Trash 80, a TRS-80, and he would get new things in and show them to all of us who were interested in such things. He had a special software package where he could have lowercase letters, not just all caps, but he could do lowercase too. And this is mightily impressive. But I am a fast learner, and so I would sit down, doing this adult education thing. I'd sit down with the lesson, and I'd learn it, and then I'd teach it like that night. And the really fun thing about that was my father was in the class, and we tried to play it cool. Let that cat out of the bag that I was his son. He was my father, but at one point I just let it slip. I called him Dad. And everyone was like, what? He actually had to make it clear at that point that he was my actual father. Remember that class was about moving. It was about the tilde, except I kept calling it the tiddly. And that you had to write and writing lines of code, and you can move a cursor, which they called a turtle, rather than a mouse. I guess the thought was that the turtle would be, slower than the mouse. I guess it was it moved actually in when the software was developed, it actually moved a thing along the floor. That's what it was supposed to do. Supposed to move the thing in shapes along the floor, and that thing they call it the turtle. And they did a computer graphics version, and they still follow the turtle. It was fun. I was teaching these, and then there was some other things that they were learning as well. And I did that, and I was 18 years old, and I was in a classroom full of grown up people. And then at the end of the summer, I've been doing all that stuff learning. I ran Oregon Trail. We had an Oregon Trail. I learned that and other fun bits of software, and I typed up little reports on each one and presented them to the teachers. And I was at 18 years of old years of age, I was a big deal. I mean, I felt like I was a big deal, and they certainly treated me like I was a big deal. In education and in industry, I was certainly a force to be reckoned with. And now contrast that to where I am now, which is my boss today, the lead today, was a 19-year-old girl, and she's my boss. And I'm pretty sure I'm the oldest person who works for our store. There may be one other person, but at best I'm the second oldest, but I'm pretty sure I'm the oldest. And I'm the only male. It's a very, very estrogen-dominated environment. Which I guess I should explain myself when I say that. There's a lot of panic is the word I want to say. I don't think that's exactly the right word, but it's certainly not the way I'm used to, because all of those years I worked in a male-dominated environment where it was, about how we could get out, fast enough to get, to get to beers and pretzels. There's a certain, I think in the, in most male-dominated environments, not all, but in most, there's a certain carelessness about detail. Unless it's you want to, what you do, you find what is the most important thing right to get done right now, get that done, and then worry about the rest of it later. Whereas females tend to want to get everything done right now, and it's disconcerting, particularly when you are an older male, used to doing it the other way. Also, we are very short-handed right now, which is again an interesting. I don't know if I've ever worked anywhere where we weren't short-handed. I think short-handed is just a thing. Sure, it's a capitalist thing. They keep you short-handed so that you're busy and you're not thinking about other things that maybe they don't want you to think about. But certainly we are, though. We've had a number of people leave here in the last few weeks. And I know my working hours have ballooned to compensate for it. And it's another, puts me in another position that I've never been in before. I mean, at 18, I didn't worry about how many hours I was getting. It wasn't a thing that concerned me at all. And then right out of college, I got a good job, a salary job. So, you worked until you were done. But in most cases, that was well manageable under a 40, 45, maybe 50 hours a week time frame. So now, for me, and I was paid what I was paid, and it was enough, at least until I started abusing my money. I guess if that's one way to say it, to use it in ways that were not good for me, and that started to mushroom, and it became problematic to support myself scenario, I guess. I don't know. That seems like an awful weak word. But that's the life I was living. It became, as time went on, it became more and more difficult for me to support myself. But that was a different thing. That wasn't a worry about work. That worry didn't come from work. That worry came out from other things were going on in my life. And while other things are still going on in my life, now I have the worry of how I generate or how I get enough hours when that's not really in my control. Now I am flush with hours. That's kind of been the story has been, you know, feast or famine. And it's particularly troubling because if it, you know, turns down out that this job does not provide me with the money I need, even this reduced scale existence that I'm living in now, if it can't provide me that money, then I have to give this up and go back with my parents. It would be the fifth time in my life that I've gone back to live with my parents. And my father is going to be 81 in August, and my mother will be 78 in September. And they really don't have the financial wherewithal for me to keep coming back like this. But, of course, at some point, and I don't like to think about this, but at some point, you know, they're not going to be there anymore. There won't be a place for me to come back to. And then what are the options? You know, find a nice overpass somewhere. But try not to think so much about those possibilities. You know, very, very much hope that the folks are going to be around for a while, but I certainly don't want to be a burden on them. I mean, already your mom gives me gas money. You know, I'm 53 years old taking money, gas money from my mother. So how do I solve that? Okay, so I promised I was going to talk about solutions and moving forward. So I'm in this spot where I put myself. You know, I blame no one but myself. I put myself here, and certain realities. One of which is, you know, if my job were to disappear, or if my manager would decide to cut my hours way back for whatever reason or for no reason, my only option is to head home with folks. And how do I deal with that? If you have any suggestions, let me know. Back to the therapist, I suppose. I'm going without a therapist now. The one I was seeing for a while, for about a year, and we were doing some pretty good work, but he took a different job where he doesn't see patients anymore. So I went out and found another place and went through their intake process and was told by them that I should be coming 2 times a week. And that kind of set me back. I was like, that sounds like I'm a homicidal maniac that I'm going to have to come in 2 times a week. But yeah, keep an open mind. I went in and started working, and it was there was a lot of, you know, they give you papers, just a little questionnaire to fill out, and show me little videos. You know, it's not. I don't want to seem like I'm super patient or anything like that. But I mean, I'm like, well, my feeling was I'm way beyond this. You know, this has been how many times I've done? Well, 2 different times I've done this. Started off on the cognitive behavioral therapy path, and where it's a lot of exercises and homework assignments and things like that. And while there was certainly some usefulness to it, and while it's probably not a bad thing to review it, I don't think it really gets me. It doesn't push my therapy forward. Then as I thought about it, I thought, okay, so what is it that I do want? So I go to somebody, to a therapist, and say, this is what I do want. Get that for the bulk of the time over this period of time, 12 years now, I've been seeing therapists. The primary benefit to me has been the talking. To just talk, because that's what's always bothered me in the past, was I didn't have anybody to talk to about what I was doing. There was nobody I trusted enough to talk about these things. And having someone to talk to about it was a pressure valve, tremendous relief. And I think probably in the last 2 or 3 generations of therapists it's just been, I've just been talking. I don't feel like I've been moving forward at all. So maybe, no, I think something different is required. I have to find some, I don't feel the kind of pressure that I used to about, you know, wanting to talk about things. Like I've talked about things any new things that I have to talk about are kind of rehashes of the old things. And perhaps we could say that about my radio show as well. So it is a new situation. You know, again, I'm learning about working with women, learning about working in a situation where it's not at least an even up situation, and often a one up situation. You know, working with people who answered to me, or were somehow lower than I was on the food chain, And that is not the case now. I am amoeba. I am lowest of the low. I'm plankton. I'm on the food chain, and I'm being scooped up by the higher animals, and then they're being eaten by the fishes, and the fishes are eaten by the bears, and the bears are eaten by men. I don't know, do men really eat bears? I guess they could. To catch one. Mostly they make good rugs, I think. But how are we for time? So one thing about these shows is always about trying to keep track of it. I guess I could probably put a clock on my computer, which is what I'm looking at now, although I can't use it because I don't have internet at the apartment. But I could still have a big clock. I remember when the earlier versions of Windows came out, and I shared a room, so as an undergrad, shared a room with a dude from Singapore, and he had all this computer equipment that they didn't have in the States yet, and he had just a constant clock as a screensaver on his monitors. The screen was filled with an analog style clock. I thought that was so neat, and I had a clock screensaver at one point. Little clock. They never had the big one that filled the screen. I always had one that kind of drifted around the screen. But clocks always do. I always walk around and see clocks drifting around the air in my world all the time. I don't know about you guys. I hadn't thought about that for a while. I lived with those guys for just a summer as I was getting ready to come back, because I finished my fourth year, and I had a couple of classes I had to postpone because I had gotten divorced, and it was just too much for me to keep track of that, and to finish my academic program, and to start putting out resumes and all of that. So I just I took two courses off, one in winter quarter, one in spring quarter, and just put them off. I took one in summer and one in the fall, and then I would graduate about half a year late. But so over the summer, I was living in a room with about eight other guys. And one of them, I don't know if I even exchanged a word with this guy that I was sharing a bedroom with, but he was from Singapore. And he had all these neat technical gadgets with him. And then one weekend, his girlfriend came up to visit him, and then I had absolutely no access to my bedroom while he was there. And he's like, I called him the Singapore stud. And why not? I guess that's it. I think there's a fair amount of jealousy in that description. Well, we've come to the end of this season premiere, and maybe not a bad way to get started. Hopefully, build on this and have wonderful shows to come. I do thank you for joining me. You're half the reason that I'm here, that we're here. I'm the other half, and hopefully, together we'll get through this. So. Thank you once again, and I'm going to see if I'm doing this in a different way than I usually do. Okay, so let's. That's the end of the show, and thank you for coming, and I'll see you next week.